Hello, everybody, and welcome to Buck Wild, the bonus miniseries, and the Buck Starts Here, where we take one last cannonball into the powdered wig pool that is the Revolutionary Era. I'm Kyle, joined by Eric Mason, my credentialed and very opinionated co-host, and we are tying up the loose ends in Eric's notebook. So if you thought we were done talking about John Adams, that's adorable. Oh, we got a few more muskets to fire here, myths to explode, and whiskey-fueled rebellions to stir up. Well, I think you got John Adams. Looks like it's a little bit quicker. We can probably get through that one here.
Yeah, so I realized, so I do have to apologize to you, Kyle, for many things, but specifically for the Adams series, that for a one-term president, I went insane for those four episodes. I honestly like pretty much drained everything I had that wouldn't take like a 40-minute setup to be able to explain.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The 40-minute Eric sweating profusely and ranting about John Adams will be a mini series in the show. Profusely sweating, yelling at just a screen. No, barely audible microphone too.
Right.
Who's watching this? 3 hours and 52 minutes. Angry guy yelling about John Adams.
So it's good that you've covered most of it then, because I have a few questions from Laura and I getting to watch. Finally, we stumbled upon the Max documentary that they did. It's like a 7-part series. And first question I had, very first episode, I don't recall us ever talking about John Adams being actually at the Boston Massacre. Was that the way that actually happened or not?
I don't believe John Adams at the boss. The,
I don't think so either. But the very first scene, they had him like running up and like witnessing the, or like asking what's going on here. Like acting like he just like ran from his house to go help fight a fire.
No, because John Adams was approached. I forget who approached him on defending them, because he had a discussion. Because Sam, his cousin, was like, not like upset. There's this weird like, dramatization of like Sam Adams like not hating, but being angry at John Adams. I mean, he wasn't happy, like, don't get me wrong, but like Sam Adams wasn't this like rabble rouser with like, oh, like he was the son of liberty, don't get me wrong, he wanted separation, but he was a very intellectually prominent man. He understood that John Adams' argument of like, if I do this, it's going to show we're not just a bunch of rebels, that we're actually trying to and aim for a higher goal. Yeah. No, I don't believe he was that. I've never read that.
Yeah, I didn't either. That was the first thing that made us raise our eyes. But there was a lot of really fun stories that kind of came to life out of that, watching that thing. We're on the last episode now. We get to finish that. That's when he retires back to Peacefield. Oh, I was also really happy to see that he did live to see his son get elected to the office of president. I was curious if he ever wrote about that.
So I believe that line, there's nothing sadder than a former president. This could be apocryphal. He wrote that to his dad. I personally think that's apocryphal, because I don't know why John Quincy Adams would say that prior to him not being president. But I also know there could be a little jest in there too. Like,
it's kind of like a, I know what you're feeling kind of.
Yeah, right. Like, but I've read a couple accounts of that. But yeah, that's amazing to see your son become president.
Anything else on Mr. Adams then, other than, I guess, the little bit that I got to contribute there?
Yeah, you contribute a lot. Stop it. Come on. Yeah. John Adams fondly writes in his journal, and we're talking about John Adams, the father, about how he wanted to quit school. He was a cantankerous little dude. Like, he hated, like, he was almost too smart to be in school. And his dad was like, fine, let's go into the fields, because his dad's a cobbler and a farmer.
I think he told me this off there. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite stories. I don't know why we didn't include this in the first go around.
I know, right?
Adams turns to little 8-year-old Adams. His dad goes, after a long, hard day, he's like, are you tired, son? And he's like, yep. He's like, well, how did you enjoy it? He's like, I loved every minute of it. I love being outside. I love being with the animals. But then he was like, I do see that like learning and like going to school is also valuable. And I love that, because at the end of John Adams' life, where does he hold his court? What does he tell Abigail holding court? Is him being around his animals doing farm work? And I'm like,
right.
This dude's awesome. Like, it's so weird that he gets painted as this like aloof intellectual, and Jefferson was painted as the common man, where Jefferson, as we'll talk about the next one, did nothing common people did. Like,
no,
Jefferson wasn't farming.
Did we ever talk about John Adams's teeth? I mean, you mentioned George Washington's, but didn't John Adams have like a issue with sweets and like have his teeth basically rotten out?
I mean, a lot of people had teeth rotten out that time. I didn't have a direct. It didn't pop up enough to me to notice that. Was that a common thing?
That was a pretty big feature of the documentary we were watching from his time in France. I think is when he picked up the habit.
Oh, so that is interesting because I have read stuff about. So he was over there with Franklin, mm-hmm. and I have read firsthand accounts that of his love of sweets. Oh, that's
that was
interesting.
Also interesting too. Though you mentioned Franklin being over there, it looked like they actually kind of batted heads a little bit. At least the way
all
they
the
portrayed
time.
It. Yeah,
oh,
I didn't realize that either.
Oh, they loved each other, but they were completely different. there's a great quote by John Adams where he's like, "For a man who writes." Early to bed, early to rise makes a man strong, wealthy, and wise. He goes, you do neither of those things. Oh, they famously, I talked about it during it. And today I find out, they had an excellent show on this. And they famously had a travel
Shout
together.
Shout them out, by the way. Love that. Love that channel.
Oh, it's just excellent. They did a whole, they had to share a bedroom. And they fought the whole night because Benjamin Franklin wanted to keep the window open. Franklin was known for just standing naked in front of open windows to let the cold air in. And he's like, it stops you from getting a cold. Which, in fairness, it's that air circulation did help prevent spread of colds and stuff. There was no need to be naked, Ben.
No.
Ben, there was no need for that, no. buddy.
Okay, so another scene in there was when Adams got passed over or snubbed for, like, I guess the role of lead ambassador. I think they ended up promoting Franklin instead because he was causing too many problems.
Oh, yeah,
so because... So when Adams went to go tell him, he went and barged into his office, and Franklin was in the tub with the girl.
He was like playing chess. He was known to play chess and stuff like that.
Really happened.
I mean, I'm sure it did. I don't know. I don't have like a direct private account, but he was naked in the tub a lot in his diplomatic career. One of my favorite things about Franklin in France is that he just jived with them so well because he was just like laissez-faire, like. Style of diplomacy. He became like a superstar there.
That reminds me of the Italian. The way they were treating diplomacy there reminded me of the way like Italians did business at the steel mills we started up. Like 9 o'clock and nobody's there. 9:55, they're rolling in the door. You're like, what's going on? We're like, we thought we said 9 o'clock. I'm like, it's still nine. No, it's not.
Yeah, Franklin was just a great. There's actually people who believe that if the revolutionary, I've read this from a couple different very prominent historians, like not speculative guys and girls, like really good top tier historians who are like, oh, if the Revolutionary War failed and everybody was going to be executed who led it, the Brits would not have executed Franklin because he was so popular. But Adams used to take like things that were written in Poor Richard's Almanac, like sayings to live by, and just like read them back to Franklin and be like, you don't live by the thing you're telling people to live by. Well, I have one more on Adams. I thought it was kind of cool. That's a short one, which is Adams took a ton of political heat because during this time, there was his time of presidency, there was a Haitian Revolution. I don't want to make it sound like it was only during his presidency. The Haitian Revolution, we talk about a single event, but it was a much longer like development over time. But he took a bunch of flack because he just like completely recognized their government. Yep. And it was a slave revolt that led to freedom. He's like, yeah, no, that's fine.
It sounds like what his son did.
Yeah, he was just like, no, they're a government. And people were like, yeah, but if you acknowledge them, then that may think that slaves shouldn't be slaves. And he's like, I very much agree with that sentiment. I wrote this entire thing called the Massachusetts Constitution that explicitly says that. This is not a surprise, my position on this.
Right.
It's like, but
why
he even
people still
like,
why do people be the feel the need to point that out to him still.
Yeah, that's right. Like, he's like, have you met me? Have you met my wife? Right. Just imagine Abigail over there cracking her knuckles, be like, who said that? He even treated, like, their leadership. Like, what made people upset is that, like, l'aventure, president would be the term they use. Like, he acknowledged him as a world leader. People were like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, again, I wrote a constitution on this. I don't know why you're confused by my position.
Okay, I do remember my last question, and then we can move on from Adams, which I know you hate hearing that sentence.
I do.
So he spent most of the war overseas, right, in France?
Did he
ever get any flack from any of the other members, politicians, for, I guess, the type of service he gave? Because he didn't really fight, as a soldier.
No, I couldn't find any records of that. And part of that, so he is incredibly dangerous what he did. Like, he, right. There's British blockades going on. And then you just
crossing the ocean. And then I think his wife even came out and met her. Like, what?
Yeah.
That, I think, blew my mind. The fact that she took that trip, too.
Yeah, he they protected Polly Jefferson when she went over. You know, and on top of that, like, this wasn't like us dropping on a plane and flying to London. I mean, this is a dangerous journey, let alone with the Brits coming after you too, with the most powerful navy on earth. Imagine like the U.S. Navy's trying to hunt you down, and you got to get across the Atlantic Ocean. You're gonna be like, wow, this is not gonna be super fun. You also gotta understand, like, the other founding fathers, like Thomas Jefferson, fled. Like, literally fled the capital when the British came.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
He just...
he bravely ran away.
Yeah, bravely ran away. Like, not everybody's Monroe getting shot in the shoulder and being like, let's keep going. It's like, Monroe, you got to calm
pinch
down.
Pinch it, shot. Pinch it.
Pinch it, Dr. Riker.
Nothing is over.
Like, yeah, right. Like, yeah, I got to say, of like, starting position, defending position on any president, definitely James Monroe of the first six was I was like, this dude's awesome. This dude's a unit. he never really took flack for it. Plus, he had a hard job. Like, he had in France. I mean, it worked too, because the big reason he won the Revolutionary War was because of France. So people were like, "Oh, it worked. You went over there. You got what you needed, and you kept Benjamin Franklin from basically becoming a caricature." I will say, on Adams, he did take flack for his service during when the election of 1800, where people started spreading a rumor that he had four mistresses when he was in London. And his response was, which, A, is incredibly out of characteristic for John Adams, like laughably out of characteristic for him. So he just responded, "Wow, that's not fair to the other two." Such a weird comment, because like the math doesn't super add up, but it's enough to make people like confused, like, what did you say? And that's low-key the best response, right? Like,
yeah
he's like, "Oh, that wasn't fair to the other two." It's like, wait, you're saying this like six?
Just confuse everybody. Like,
yeah, I freaking love John Adams.
That's it for this dispatch from Loose Ends, Buck Wild, our final salute to the revolutionary weirdness that built the country. Now, we may have signed off on the main episodes, but history's never tidy, and the Founding Fathers left behind more loose threads than ratified documents. So thank you for joining us as we tie up these last knots. Stick around, we've got more eras, more chaos, and plenty more bucks to chase. Until then, stay rebellious, stay relentless, and stay buck wild. Produced by China Shop Productions.